Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Bridge Radio. And we're coming at you from the great state of Texas. I am your host, A.W. Varilla. And next to me, who's back, the president of this place, Steve Van Hartog.
What's up, everybody? Good to be back with you.
So, guys, we're super excited to be back another week, another day. Hope everybody is doing well. But before we begin the announcement, we are super excited to have a first-time guest. We're going to be talking about Dr. William Thrasher's new book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life, Transforming Your Prayers into a Spirit-Empowered Life-Giving Adventure. So we're looking forward to talk about prayer. It's been the topic just at church and just things going on just around my life, at least. And
it just can just be one of those things that is on a checklist.
Yes.
Instead of actually being something that we look forward to and really treasure the time that we have with the Lord. So
Absolutely. So we're looking forward to having Dr. William Thrasher on and talking about his new book. But Steve, any updates, anything going on at the ministry that we just can update our listening audience?
I mean, always new stuff. I was super excited to hear really positive feedback from the podcast with the author's name, I'm forgetting, Mama Bear.
Hillary.
Right? Yes. Got a lot of good feedback. That's awesome. My wife, who did the podcast with her, kept getting text messages from ladies and so forth, telling her how much they appreciated it. So
yeah. So if you guys haven't listened to that podcast, it was the previous podcast. So go check that out with Hillary Furr, Mama Bear Apologetics. And yes, it was definitely good. And if you guys listened to it, Leanne basically ran the whole thing. Right. I was just there for just listening. So it was really nice to have Leanne and Hillary on and just talk about such an important topic.
Yeah.
And how are the Bible studies going? And
Bible studies are great. We're kind of beginning to wrap up the summer studies. Got new ones getting ramped up for the fall. So we're super excited about that. Got in the copy of Completos en Él, which is super exciting. So we got our initial shipment of that. So if anybody's interested in completing him in the Spanish translation, please let us know.
Yeah, we're super excited about that. And that would be a good segue just for our listening audience here in Laredo or anywhere in Texas. If you guys want to come down to our Spanish conference on November 11th, 2023.
Yep.
At Texas International University. So please go get your tickets right away. It's approaching very quickly. The summer's already almost over, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And I know that this summer Bridge has been busy with a lot of
very much
kids coming down from the, what's the name of that group?
Apex.
Yep. Yes. So that's been cool to see just kids, every week from different parts of the country visiting down here and doing some great work here in Laredo, but at the same time visiting Bridge Ministry. Please don't forget to subscribe to Apple, Android, and Google, and please visit our website at bridgeminlaredo.org, and please download our app. And please, if the Lord moves you to give, we will take anything. We'll take $1, $10, you know, whatever the Lord moves to give you, you know, you can tap that reoccurring button each month and we'll take $1. We're $1. We're really serious. We will take $1. The work here in Laredo is definitely one that is very important to spreading the good news to Mexico, Central America, and South America, and all of Texas and beyond here in the States. All right. Well, Steve, let's get this podcast started.
Let's do it.
Dr. William D. Thrasher is a graduate professor of Bible and theology at Moody Theological Seminary and is a frequent speaker for churches and retreats across the country. His ministry interests includes campus discipleship, singles ministry, and evangelism. He's the author of Believing God of His Best, A Journey to a Victorious Praying, Principles of Christian Living from Romans 5 and 8, The Attributes of God in Pauline Theology, and Living the Life God Has Planned, Bill and his wife, Penny, live in the Chicago area and have three sons. Welcome, Dr. Bill Thrasher, to Bridge Ministry for the first time.
It's a delight to be with you. Thank you very, very much.
Well, we're super excited to have you on today. We're going to be talking about your book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life, Transforming Your Prayers into Spirit-Empowered Life-Giving Adventure by Moody Publishing. But before we begin, Doctor, can you please just tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Lord drew you to saving faith?
I was raised in Montgomery, Alabama. I went to a denominational church, but did not understand the gospel. I remember being in a Sunday school class, I think it was fourth grade, and the teacher said, if you could just have one wish, what would it be? Well, you know what immediately came to my mind was eternal life. Mm. But the answers that were being shared by my fourth grade peers were just in a totally different level. And so I didn't say that. But then the teacher said his one wish would be eternal life. But we left it at that, just as a wish, nothing that I could know for certain. Well, in God's great mercy, Dr. Billy Graham came to Crampton Bowl, the football stadium there in Montgomery, Alabama, and preached the gospel there. And I was a 13-year-old boy, and he had, I learned later that he was there by presidential the president called him and told him, look, your gospel is the only thing that can do anything for that racial crisis there. And so he came. His ministries were always integrated. There were no way segregation in them. And so I heard the gospel that night and went forward. And that was I date my salvation to that moment. Now, I didn't significantly grow after that. I did read the Bible each day. I was a part of the denominational church that things weren't real clear. And it was I went to college after joining the Air Force Reserve and just to, I'm planning my own life, not really knowing there was another way to live. But I wandered into the room of a fraternity brother on a state university. I went to Auburn University. And that fraternity brother, without me asking him a question, said, well, he shared this little booklet with me that Campus Crusade for Christ used to call, now called CREW, the ministry. Have you made the wonderful discovery of the Spirit-filled life? I'd never heard it. We recited the Apostles' Creed every morning, or not every Sunday morning. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know anything about that. But I hung on every word. I said, there's a resource that I don't know anything about. Well, that sparked a great growth in my life. I roomed with him for a year. God drew me into a call to ministry. I finished Auburn University, worked in a church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and then went to seminary. And God led me into a teaching ministry, which I've been in Chicago at the Moody Bible Institute since 1980. So that's a little bit, maybe more than you wanted to know.
No, that was great.
That's my pilgrimage.
I love it. No, thank you very much, Doctor, for sharing that. We really appreciate it. Now, today we get the opportunity to talk about your new book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. Now, how do you identify a dead prayer life, Doctor?
Well, I want you to know, sir, as we even give it a title of that book, we're not in any shape, form, or fashion talking down on anybody. Mm. I'm really sharing my own experience.
Yeah.
There was, as I roomed with Robert Buster Holmes was his name. That was my fraternity brother. And that sparked an incredible growth in my Christian life. And I discovered the joy, and I saw how, where he devoted himself to prayer. And so I did too. I developed the habit of prayer and carried that on with me for a number of years. And as you're around the Christian church, people say, you need to pray for this, you need to pray for this. I tried to pray for it all until, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years later, there was one day I was just so bogged down in the activity of prayer. I remember just thinking this thought, a loud thought to God. I said, God, the greatest gift you could give me is to just take this burden off my back. I said, there's two things I've learned about prayer, and I've totally applied them to my life. The two things I've learned, I keep hearing again and again and again, that prayer is very, very, very important. The second thing I hear is you need to discipline yourself to do it. Well, I have done both. But, you know, what I discovered that morning in regard to my prayer life being dead is that, Lord, I'm not sure I'm really expecting anything to happen. And if you're praying and you're not expecting anything to happen, sooner or later you ask yourself the question, why pray? And so I said, Lord, I noticed soon after that, there are five commands in relationship to the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, don't grieve the Spirit, don't quench the Spirit, and pray in the Spirit. Well, that's the one I said, I'm not sure what that means, but you said, just as I need the Holy Spirit in every area of my life, I'm to walk in dependence upon Him. You say, I'm to pray in dependence upon Him. And so it put me on a pilgrimage. Lord, would you teach me? The D.L. Moody, the founder of the school I teach at many, many years ago, he the greatest preacher of his day, he said, I'd rather teach one person to pray than 10 people to preach. Mm. And so, God, I would just say this to any of our listeners. When the Lord's disciples came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, he spoke. He'll speak to you. He knows where you are, and he wants to what? He wants to take, give you a vital, expectant, alive prayer life. And that's what he's done for me. And not that I don't have to continually rediscover it. I need everything I'm saying to others. I need everything I've written. And so, but that's how I would define it. When you're involved in the activity of prayer, but really not expecting anything to happen, and you've lost touch with God.
Yeah. And I really, really appreciate you just going through that, because I know there's probably going to be listeners here around the world that might be feeling the same way, and we're like, well, how do I identify this, you know? And I think it's really good that we get down to the nitty-gritty of that. You know, even in my walk as a Christian, man, you know, I'm like, the times that I struggle to pray, you know, and I'm like, okay, like what's the reason behind the praying, you know? Like, do I believe that God is going to work through the prayers? Because those are the means, absolutely. And I got to remind myself that, right, on a daily basis, you know, because like you said, Jesus says, you know, Jesus said, pray, so we pray, right? That's not a suggestion. That is a command. And like you said earlier, the disciples were asking Jesus, teach us how to pray. And don't teach us how to preach, teach us how to pray. Right. And then the examples that we just see from Jesus waking up early in the morning and separating himself from everybody to go pray to the Father, or another example is, you know, in the evening, just getting away from everybody. And it's like, all right, like, I'm disappearing. I got to go with the Father.
Amen. Amen.
So how can worry and a frantic life begin to endure? To enjoy God's presence and peace?
Well, you know, you thank God for his kind instruction in his word. Obviously, no one really has to teach us to anxiety and worry is certainly a common temptation. And if God only told us, don't worry about anything, which he does command us, that would probably make us, that wouldn't help us. Now we know not only we're worrying and anxious, now we know we're sinning. Yeah. So that doesn't help us. He tells us what to do about it. You see, when God lovingly, that familiar story at the end of Luke chapter 10, the story of Mary and Martha, it's just a few verses there, Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. In verse 40, he does rebuke Mary, Martha, not because of what she's doing, but the attitude in which she's doing it.
Yeah.
And you see there in that one verse, the love behind that kind rebuke. He says there in verse 40, verse 40, Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and says, Lord, don't you care? So see, that worry, the fruit of it is doubt. I live in a world of doubt. My faith is attacked. So she's doubting. And then she becomes critical of others. Don't you care? Also, she feels isolated. My sister has left me to do all the serving alone. She's critical of her sister. She feels isolated. And then she begins to order Jesus around. Tell her to help me. She's forgotten who he is, and she's forgotten who Jesus is. So now he commends he commends Mary, not because she's not working, because I think she had been helping, but now she's seated at the Lord's feet. She's attentive to him. She's under his authority, willing to do anything he would ask her to do. Martha is a picture of abiding in the Lord. And he says, you've chosen the good part. You see, this is a very fruitful attitude. It's interesting that this story of Mary, Martha and Mary in Luke 10, 38 to 42 is not chronologically related to what precedes it and following. Under the inspired placement of this little section is to show the thematic relationship. The story that precedes it is the story of the Good Samaritan, where the individual shows spontaneous compassion to the one in need. The story that follows it is our Lord's teaching on the Lord's Prayer. You see, when this anxious spirit controls us, we are not able to see needs around us. We're not able to be an instrument of God's loving compassion. Also, it destroys the spirit of prayer. It's Mary's attitude that is the author of prayer. It's where we're able to sometimes not try to have a ministry, but the overflow of our life produces a ministry. I remember reading a person's writing one said, he says, all true ministry is unconscious. Well, what he was trying to say was this, I think. He's saying sometimes we're trying too hard to have a ministry. We're, you know, oh, I'm just going to be a blessing to you. And you'd say, boy, I want to give that man up for Lent. I don't want him. But you want what? It's like there was that overflow of our life. And that's what, and so you see, God understands the things that we're concerned about. And his spirit wants to enter into that. You know, left to ourselves, we don't care about anybody but us. Mm-hmm. But God's spirit can what? Give us, empowering us to live. You know, left to ourselves is the spirit of our flesh is what? Let us make a name for ourselves. That was the cry of the Tower of Babel. God's spirit can enter into our life, and we can echo what the psalmist would say, not to us, O Lord, but to your name give glory. See, as God fills us with his spirit, he says, I'm going to send to give you the spirit, and the spirit's going to glorify Christ. Mm-hmm. And so as we're filled with the spirit, we can glorify Christ. And so, Lord, I give you this anxiety. God says, anytime you're tempted to be anxious, talk to me about it. Also, tell me what you want me to do about it. That's supplicate. I'm quoting from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. He says, but don't forget to thank me. Thank me that what? I'm with you. Thank you that I'm not trying to burden you down. Thank you that I care about it. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God by casting all your cares upon him. We even pray for our listeners now, for anything that's bothering you, anything that's weighing you down. God would give you the faith to what? Cast that care upon him. I pray somehow your load will be lighter after listening to this podcast than heavier. That's what we want God to do. So God is a gracious God who wants to what? Give us his peace. That's what I starve for. That drew me to a surrender of my life to the Lord. And I praise God that he's that kind of God. He's a God of peace. And our precious Lord, before he was about to leave his disciples, and they didn't understand what was going on, but he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. The peace that sustained him, even though he woke up every day and there was a plot to kill him. He woke up and there was all kind of incredible expectations upon him, but he lived with peace. I marvel that a human could even exist under the conditions that he lived, but he lived with peace. And he wants to train you and me that we could know his peace as well.
Yeah. What do you think, just kind of the challenges in prayer, and as you were mentioning Martha and, yes, and Mary, because I think it can be very subtle, right? Like,
yes.
You know, we're just like, hey, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm preparing this. I'm doing this. And why aren't you helping me? And she's like, well, I'm focusing on Jesus. You know, right, that's not as important. And and I feel like even in this day and age with so much distractions,
yes,
in doing good things, you know,
right,
we forget where our priorities are. And
yes,
and I mean, I guess, you know, especially in this day and age of social media, like our attention span is so very short.
Right.
How do we just combat that with just, you know, resurrecting our prayer life? Because I'm just even thinking, and I'm going to give an example here, Doctor. We get up in the morning, we're getting ready to work, right? And I'm like, all right, I'm going to set aside it's time here of prayer. And then our phone rings, or our wives start talking to us, and then we start getting right, distracted. And then yes, before we know it, we're just making justifications for not, you know, praying. Not yes, that I'm saying that your prayer life has to be in the morning, but just to show an example of what Jesus did, he prayed in the morning. And I know yes, when I start off my day in prayer, my day definitely looks a lot different, you know?
Right.
But
right,
how do we combat that?
Well, that's a great question. And I certainly would want our listeners to know, and I want us to know too, that God loves us in our most anxious moment. And we're not trying to perform for him.
Yes.
We're not saying, boy, God will be on my side if I do this or that. Not at all. It's this. I remember in the early days of my teaching ministry, having to prepare everything that was brand new. And I felt like if I worked every second, it wasn't enough. And I remember God just stopping me 1 week and just saying, you know, I will never give you so much to do that you can't have the luxury of developing a relationship with me. You can give yourself too much to do. You can allow other people to give you too much to do, but I won't give you too much to do. So I begin to see time with God as a gift. It wasn't spending time with him. It was investing time with him. You know, inside of our wedding rings, we have the reference, Philippians 1:9-11. I pray that your love would abound more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Approve means put your choice upon the most excellent ways to express your love. See, that's inside of a prayer. See, I can wake up and I can gravitate to things that it may not matter if they get done or not. You know, you don't necessarily just gravitate to the most excellent ways to invest your life. And so I need the help of God. And so I would say, I remember this busy, busy pastor of a large church. Maybe it was the largest church at that particular time in Dallas, Texas. And he said he takes out his calendar at the beginning of a year and he puts all over it. Appointment with God, appointment with God, appointment with God. Then he begins to take demands upon him. And sometimes he has to say, boy, I'd like to do that, but I've already got an appointment. He says, if I didn't put those on there first, they would never get on there. So there's always going to be pulls at us. But see, sometimes the greatest benefit you can do for others is to excuse yourself and have time with him. That's what our Lord did. You know, that Mark 1:35, you said it, he got up a great while before day, went to a lonely place and was praying there. The word praying is not primarily speaking of intercession for others, but the outpouring of his own soul for refreshment with his Heavenly Father. See, Jesus himself in his humanity had emotional limitations in the sense that he had to get refueled. So you and I have to get refueled. Mm. And so God wants to give us that gift. Now, sometimes you may schedule an appointment and, you know, something interferes and you say, okay, I have to reschedule that. That's okay. Sometimes things do happen. Sometimes you do get even the take your distractions and bring those in the presence of God. And I would say let's say when we failed, don't beat yourself over the stick. That really doesn't help.
Yeah.
You know, just pick yourself up, say, God, I miss my time with you, but I'm not going to miss fellowship with you throughout the day. And so walk with God. He's a gracious God, and he wants to teach us. Yes, he does love us, and he wants to give us that gift of time with him. So don't look at it as another thing to put on your to-do list. I know it's a discipline, but if you look at it only like that, you begin to resent it. Who wants another thing on your to-do list? I don't. I've got too many already.
Yeah, so true. No, I really love how you put that. Because sometimes we want to be careful that we're not just doing things, like you said earlier, just to do them, you know, like
right.
just a check mark, like, and our hearts are not in there, you know. And again, we have the flesh, we have the enemy, and we have to be very careful about that, you know, because remember we can't do anything on our behalf to work our way into the kingdom. You know, Christ paid for it all. You know, he's the only one. And I love how you just say, like, you know, let's get up and just get up and, you know, God loves us. Christ loves us, you know, and just get up, you know. And I think this is why the relationship is so important. This next question, I really love. I'm looking at it. So because I was just thinking of this, but we'll unpack this a little bit later. But Doctor, how can you reach heaven when you don't know what to pray?
And you know, the scripture says, and here we're talking about this book is really about how the God's Spirit, we need the assistance of Almighty God. It's not just a human experience. And he tells us the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The next phrase, I'm quoting from Romans 8:26-27, the next phrase will explain what he means by weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we should. There are times we don't know how to pray as we should. You know, I give an illustration in the book of an amazing man. He was a student of mine. He came to be a student when he was in his 50s. He had left a very lucrative career in chemical engineering, and he was an incredible prayer warrior. We'd have retreats, and he would, when we had free time to him meant seek God. And he was, I think, from Singapore. And so we had a lot of Asian students. And so he would, free time to men, he would just organize prayer meetings, you know. So he was an incredible, and I could give you some many, many other stories about him. But here was there one time he came to me very discouraged. He was doing an internship, and he went to, he said, I went to visit this lady. I went to her, and she says, I don't want you here. I didn't ask you to visit me. And he says, well, it would be okay if I pray for you. I don't care if you pray for me or not. I didn't ask you to come here. And he said, well, let me pray. And he tried, he said, I went to pray for her and I began crying like a little baby. Now, he came to me, I think, feeling defeated, feeling like, look, I'm 50 years old. I'm getting a master's in Bible and all I can do, visit a lady. She didn't even want me there. I try to pray and I just began crying like a baby. Tell me there's some hope for me. I think that was the question beneath the question. But, you know, we learned later in a week or two when he went back, that lady began to open her heart. You see, I tell you, he was a prayer warrior. He could have professionalized that moment because, you know, most of us, you're around the church a while, we got a prayer for every occasion. We'll lay it on you if you wanted us to lay it on you. But he, God's spirit just wept compassionate tears for that lady. And all the barriers that she had raised up against him, he walked right through those barriers. Her health began to improve. She began to open her heart and God began to work in her bitterness. You see, we don't always know how to pray before the Lord. As the Apostle Paul, he really meant when he says, God, remove this thorn in the flesh. That was a strong desire. It was very unpleasant. The element he was going through, whatever it was, it's left general. But God knew beneath that desire, that was a strong desire. But beneath that desire was, God, I want to be the most useful believer I can be. I want to know your grace and your power to the fullest possible extent. I'm looking on that passage in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and following. And so, see, God did not give him the request, because in order to give him the deeper inquest, which he wasn't in touch with at that moment. So the Holy Spirit helps us. I could give all illustrations of that, but the Holy Spirit helps us when we don't know how to pray as we ought.
Yeah, and I'm going to make this statement, and I don't want to sound weird because I don't think it is, but it's crazy to think that when we're praying here on earth,
yes,
in this realm, right,
yes,
and our prayers are being heard in that unseen realm in the throne room of the Trinity, like, do we even really think about that, you know? Like, is our prayers going from this physical realm to the unseen realm where the Lord listens to our prayer and answers prayers? It's one of the things that I've been thinking, like, wow, that's incredible, you know, without sounding it, you know, really weird or like hyper spiritual, but like, our prayers are here. We're here just like we prayed before this podcast, and that the Lord may bless the things that are going here in Laredo and the things that are happening there at Moody and in Chicago. I'm just thinking, like, this is why we pray. We pray because the Lord tells us to pray and how we get to, be in union in that and how we get to, spend the time with the Lord and relationship with him, if that makes any sense.
Yes, well, it certainly does. And it's an awesome privilege that God has opened up the Holy of Holies to us. And when how God works is not a mystery in this sense. When God wants to do something, God puts a prayer burden, a prayer on somebody's heart. That person prays in response to that prayer burden, and that's how the work of God is set in motion. You know, Jesus, God in the flesh, as he walked this earth, he looked around and he looked at the multitudes. He felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That's so God wanted to do something. He turns to his disciples. He says, look, the harvest is plentiful. The labors are few. He sought to put that prayer burden on their heart. And he says, what do you do with it? Pray the Lord would send labors in the harvest. You see, he's not just saying, okay, well, you need to rub a rabbit foot and something will happen, or if you're of it long enough. No, God's spirit works through prayer. I teach at a school, Moody Bible Institute. Years ago, we know the story of D.L. Moody, he was a brilliant man, not a formally educated man, but one day walking in Chicago, he knelt down. He said, God, give me this land for my school. And Moody Bible Institute is not the largest university in Chicago, but it's the largest landowner. And we owe that what? To God, that's a very concrete thing. God works through prayers. The late Dr. Bill Bright was studying for a Hebrew exam when he was in seminary. And God laid on his heart a ministry that he was going to reach college students all around the world. He went to one of his professors. One of his professors says, I'll tell you what you can call it. Call it Campus Crusade for Christ. Now it's called CRU. But God works through prayer. And that's a great privilege we have.
Yeah, that's just a great story, how you're just letting us know about D.L. and how he prayed over the land. And for you don't know this, doctor, but I've mentioned this before in a podcast. I actually, my last residency before moving down here was just about two blocks away from Moody Bible Institute there on LaSalle and Division. And I had the privilege to walk when I was walking to work, because my office was downtown. I was able to pass by Moody so many times, and I was like, wow, it's amazing what the Lord has done. Where, you know, if for our listeners, where Moody is right now, it's one of probably one of the most expensive real estate, you know, in Chicago, if not the country. You know, it's a very, it's a very desired piece of land. But there in the whole darkness is light, you know?
Right.
And that's really, really awesome and exciting.
Well, we praise God. I praise God for leading me there. Our winters are cold. Sometimes I might like to be with you there when January and February comes, but that's not my lot. That's where God has put me.
Hey, and I'll swap with you anytime, because we've been getting 122 degree weather.
My.
Yeah, just about a month ago, Laredo was breaking records here.
Wow, that is hot.
Yeah,
that
it was back in June. Laredo was one of the hottest place on the planet besides the Sahara Desert. We had two days that was absolutely insane. And I love cold weather. So I'll be more than a swap with you anytime. You can stay in my house. I'll stay in your house, and we can anytime.
Well, I'll come down there in January. It's not 122 in January.
No. It's 80 and sunny. And
oh my, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. 75. It's great. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Now, how can times of despair be transformed into prayers that even affect future generations?
You know, this is a way of God. It's this, that God wins his victories in the midst of apparent defeat. And you see, God brings us low. Now, in that low times, you can despair. You can give up. We've all been there. The devil throws those fiery darts of discouragement at us. Yeah. But if God brings us low, to cry out to him, that principle is as clear as the death and resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus was crucified and put in the grave, it looked like the enemies of righteousness had won. It looked like wickedness has won as he was sitting in the grave, and the disciples scattered and were fearful. But God was winning his greatest victory. Mm-hmm. And after that came the resurrection. Well, I could bore you forever, you know, in regard to many times before God's done something special in my own life, is preceded by a discouraging time that would cause me to cry out to him. And that's how God works. That's how God works. And like I say, I have an illustration in the book, and it's really amazing, of a dear lady. Gil Beers is a children's author. He's written hundreds of books, but The Toddler's Bible and many other books. But anyhow, he's talking about his a grandmother in his his wife's line, Grandma Rudy, the affectionate caller. She was married to a pastor, and he died. He was a small little church, and he left her basically penniless with three children, and she was pregnant with a fourth. She did not have enough money even to put a roof over her head, so she moved in with a relative. But she says, you know, my mission in life is I'm going to pray for my children, and I'm going to pray for my unborn grandchildren. and she poured out her heart. And he told Gil Beers told me that night, and then he gave me a printout of just the records of her descendants. I have that in the book on page 123 and 124, at least a summary of it. It was quite amazing. She left 17 grandchildren, all Christians with Christian spouses, as well as all of her children. And they raised their children for the Lord.
Wow.
And he gave me the names of these people, what they were doing. There were missionaries, businessmen who worked with the Gideons, one worked with the Radio Bible Class, one who operated a Christian bookstore. He went on and on and on. There are 50 great-grandchildren who also reflected a strong lineage of Christian ministry and missions. 12 of those 17 grandchildren met together a few years ago. Let's continue what Grandma Rudy started. Here, people would have looked at her and said, that's a pitiful lady, has children that what? She can't even put a roof over her head. Few people would say they have had the accomplishment that Grandma Rudy did. They're still praising God for her generations later. So God can bring us low. We can despair. The devil will attack us. But if you use that as an opportunity to cry out to God, that may be the most fruitful time in your life.
Wow. It just goes to show how important it is that we're raising our children correctly, right?
Amen.
Doesn't guarantee that they will be with the Lord, but if we do everything—
They have a choice of their own to make, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But our responsibility as parents, make sure that we are teaching the ways of the Lord, right?
And to keep crying out to God for them.
Yes.
Keep crying out. You know, every day of our life, do you have children yet?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, you know, as you have young children, they're in your home, and then like me, my grown children, you know, scripture says, exhort one another day after day, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Well, every day you need it. And so when they were under my, I had a little bit direct, I could directly do it, but now I can pray that into their life, And sort of, I still have contact with them too, but you pray that into your life. Every day of our life, it says we need to exhort one another day after day, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we can keep crying out to God, even ones that may not, even we maybe know loved ones that won't even listen to us.
Yeah.
But nobody can keep us from crying out to God for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that my mom did for me for sure.
Praise God.
Every day. And when the Lord drew himself to him, and I told my parents, my parents were absolutely, they were lost for words, that the Lord answered the prayer for salvation in my life. So that was, I know, very encouraging to them.
Praise God.
So how can we get in touch with the deep concerns of our hearts?
You know, I think God uses... I think there's scripture says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. So you should never divorce the discipline. What God has joined together, let no man separate. The discipline, and he's joined together the disciplines of scripture and the disciplines of prayer. As you read God's word, George Mueller, the individual who founded those orphanages, he actually was a rascal growing up. He was saved as an adult. In his own words, he says he was a confirmed liar and a thief. You know, he was studying for the ministry only because he thought it would impress his father.
Oh, wow.
But he was an unbeliever. But anyhow, he said, I used to start the day with prayer. There's a better way. To start the day with God's word and let God's spirit take his word and really begin to form prayers in his heart. So I think God's word can help us. And sometimes we do need others as well. The plans in the heart are like deep water. A man of understanding can draw it out. Sometimes we need people we can sort of think out loud with, close, intimate friends that we just allow us to think out loud and say, you know, something's troubling me. Would you pray for me? I'm trying to get in touch with it. And sometimes they help you see it. So, yeah, God wants to what? He wants to speak to us. I like the C.S. Lewis's quote. He says, the prayer that precedes all prayer is this, let it be the real I who speak. Let it be the real thou that I speak to. So God, if you're not praying your heart, you'll just learn to despise prayer. If you have fear in your life, you're not talking to God about that fear. You know, you're not praying. If you have anger in your heart and you're not letting God come in there and deal with that hurt and compassionately deal with you and work that out, you're not praying. So God wants to help us share a heart. And that's what God's Spirit wants to do. He wants to help you pray your heart. Get in touch with your heart and pray your heart.
Wow, wow. Thank you for that. Now, how can our greatest struggle spur effective prayer that defeats the evil one? So the enemy, the devil, and his demons, the principalities of the air.
Right. Well, you know, that's, I pray all of our listeners could, this is not complicated. It took me a little while to work it out in my life, but it literally helps me every day of my life. And I would tell anybody to do this. Start out by writing down your most persistent temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted. Our Lord himself, he said he was tempted in all ways, like us, yet without sin. Write down your persistent temptation. And then ask God, say, God, every time I'm tempted this way, I want you to give me a prayer burden, a prayer request, that I'm going to let this temptation be a prompting to pray it. Let it be a prayer request that will damage Satan's kingdom as God answers it. And so here you take that temptation, do the wrong thing, and you use it to become a motivation to do the right thing. Let's say every time a parent was tempted to have a wrong, sensual, lustful thought, and they you take it as a prompting to pray for the purity of their children. Think of every time you were tempted to be discouraged, you prayed for the encouragement of your Christian leaders. Or I'm not saying whatever it could be. Start out maybe just being in a prayer partnership with somebody. You're saying, when I'm tempted, I'm going to pray for you. When you're tempted, you can pray for me. The genius of that is this. Sometimes you'll get tired of resisting something if you're not saying yes to something else. And so that's, I beg of you, don't go to bed tonight without putting that into practice. Write out your temptation and write out, okay, this is when I'm tempted in this way. This is what I'm going to take it as a prompting to pray. That helps me every day of my life. And I pray it would help others as well.
Wow, yeah. Well, Doctor, this podcast has flown by quickly. But before we start ending the podcast, one more question before we're closing out with the gospel. So how does the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit, motivates and guides our prayer?
Hmm. You know, one thing that helped resurrect my dead prayer life is this, is that when I discovered that everything that needed to be prayed for wasn't a personal assignment to me. I remember a person saying, you know, I tried to pray for everything that needed to be prayed for, and my prayer life got nowhere. Until I discovered I wanted to let God set the agenda of my prayer life. See, what God prompts us to pray, he'll give us the grace to do it. That is the motivation and power to do it. Now, I need to be willing to do anything, willing to pray anything, but everything's not a personal assignment to me. And also, always the greatest thing is to make sure you're praying your heart. Now, I have lists, I have structure, I have disciplines, but, you know, if something is bothering me, I've learned, okay, I'm going to put that aside for just a second, and I'm going to what? Pay attention. To pray my heart to God. And then sometimes that gives me a whole new freedom to pray for these other things that I'm praying about. Or say, God, you raise up somebody else to pray for those today, because you want to make sure you're sharing your heart with God. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do. Let him guide your prayer life. Let him motivate your prayer life. You know, we need him to motivate our prayer life. You can't work up fervency. You can't work up Christ-like compassion. That's a work of God. Mm-hmm. But he can do it. When you see a need, you feel a need, you're gripped by that need, and you admit, Lord, I'm helpless to do anything about it, but I'm going to cry out to you, as it depends upon you. And don't you worry, God won't make you irresponsible. He'll show you what your part is. You don't have to scheme. See, if I could solve it, why pray about it? But you're crying to God. You're asking him to do what you cannot do for yourself. And I just thank God that each day that for the miracles that God wants to produce through the people that will listen to this. In fact, that's the posture if you want to go about it as you go about your life. God, what do you want me to believe you for today? What do you want me to trust you for today? And you seek to listen to him, listen to his word. You store up prayers at his throne of grace. He never forgets them. And so every day you want to bombard that throne of grace and believe him for that. And most of all, you know, I want to finish strong. I'm probably a lot older than you, and maybe a lot older than anybody who will be listening to us, but I want to finish strong.
Yeah.
And I pray that you do as well. We praise God for your heart to help this ministry, and I pray God's richest blessing upon you and your wife.
Wow. Thank you for that. But before we end the podcast completely, Doctor, Romans 10, 14 and 15 says, how will then they call on him who they've not believed? And how will they believe in whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet to those who brings the good news of good things. Dr. Thrasher, can you please share the good news of the gospel to our worldwide audience today, please?
I am delighted to do so. God wants to give you a gift. There are two religions in the world, the religion of do and the religion of done. Christ, he said, as he died on the cross, it is finished. He paid for our debt in full. Whatever, if God can, you can see, you may be, look at somebody that seems like they're so much, they've done so much worse than you. If we compare ourselves to a holy God, we're all what? If all you ever did was think one impure thought, God has total right to what sentenced you to hell forever. Mm. But Jesus paid your debt in full, and he wants you to give you the gift of his salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He wants to give you a gift. You don't earn it. It's by grace. You've been saved through faith, not as a result of works that any man should boast. And so would you receive that gift? Admit, Lord, yes, I have sinned against you. I deserve your judgment, but I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who paid my debt in full. A holy God paid that debt in full, and God yearns for you. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And it will be the best decision you've ever made in your life. And you're not by yourself. When you trust him, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I want to help you each day of your life. You have someone you can talk to. You have someone you can be transparent with. I'll pray you have many, many people that love you, but no one will love you like he loves you. No one can always be with you. No one can always understand you. It's a great gift. So I pray that you'd receive that gift, and I pray that God would even use you above and beyond you could ask or think to help other people receive that gift.
Wow. Amen. For our folks listening today, please go get the new book by Dr. William D. Thrasher, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life, Transforming Your Prayers into a Spirit-Empowered Life-Giving Adventure by Moody Publishing. Doctor, where can people find you if you want to be found? Are you on social media, website? Where can people look you up if they want to just get more of your books and how to access your book?
I'd say www.victoriouspraying.com. It will list all the books I've written, including this book. It'll have a link on that. You can order it. You can also go to moodypublishers.com or Amazon as well to secure How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. www.victoriouspraying.com.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Please, again, go get the book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life, Transforming Your Prayers into a Spirit-Empowered Life-Giving Adventure by Moody Publishing. Doctor, thank you very much for coming to Bridge Radio today and spending the time with us today and talking about your new book. We are looking forward to have the book here at Bridge Ministry, and hopefully somebody would definitely be blessed by your new book and in this podcast. Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's episode with Dr. Bill Thrasher on his new book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life, Transforming Your Prayers into a Spirit-Empowered Life-Giving Adventure. Again, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life, Transforming Your Prayers into a Spirit-Empowered Life-Giving Adventure by Moody Publishing. That was really just kind of great reminders there, just how important prayer is and how we get to come together with the Lord to pray our needs, pray with our hearts, pray for the future and the future generations. And just a great reminder by Dr. Thresher about those things and the importance of prayer. Again, you guys have heard me before, just the struggles that I've had with just prayer. And you guys know that I think it was probably 3 years ago when we had Alistair Begg on and his book, Pray Big, and just how a blessing that was and the things that he was talking about in that book as well. And other authors that we've had on here on prayer, because I think it's a very important topic. But yeah, I just loved just how Dr. Thresher was coming at it in this new book. And for you guys who might be feeling discouraged about your prayer life, just get back into it, like Dr. Thresher said, and resurrect that dead prayer life. So absolutely great to have it on. All right, guys. Well, please don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And like we always like to end the show, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ.